You're listening to Anne Graham Lotz on today's edition of Living in the Light.
When you get up to give a message, you're giving it to an audience of one. You know that? And if you can develop that in your life and in your ministry, so that when you're sharing God's word, all you care about is the pleasure of your King.
Welcome to Living in the Light. Anne's message from the book of Jeremiah speaks eloquently to God's faithfulness in Jeremiah's life. And the scripture today speaks to your life as well. God himself in his steadfast love and faithfulness to those who believe. Here's Anne in Jeremiah chapter 12.
You stand up to share God's word. Are you afraid of the face of a king? Someone who's in authority over you? Could it be your husband or a boss, an employer? Are you afraid of the face of the official? A government official, a school official, a county official? You know, the official who's just there to make sure there's a separation between church and state and we don't step over the line. Are you afraid of that official? Maybe you're afraid of the face of the priest, maybe a literal priest in your life, a religious leader, maybe it's a bishop or a pastor, a deacon, an elder. And as a woman, you're afraid of the face of that person when you come to giving out God's word. And I stand up in the pulpit and everybody's looking at me. It just scares you to death. And so I get up, I try not even to think about it. I just lose myself in the message. And every time I step up on a platform, I just ask God to crucify that self-consciousness that could paralyze you with so much fear that you would be disobedient just through the paralysis. And Jeremiah must have been terrified of the faces of all these people. And God said, Jeremiah, don't be afraid of the faces for two reasons. And remember, God gave me these same two reasons when I spoke to a pastor's convention about 8 years ago. There were about 800 pastors at this convention, and they were seated at tables, and they were all spread out, so it looked like a huge group. And when I stood up in the pulpit, it looked like half of them, now maybe it wasn't that many, but it looked like half of them stood up, picked up their chair, turned them around, and put their backs to me. And so I got through the message, and then when I went home, I got on my knees, and I said, all right, Lord, you know, being a woman in the pulpit has never been a problem for me before, but I can see it's a problem for them. Now it's become a problem for me. Help me. And one of the things that the Lord said to me was right from this verse, Anne, don't be afraid of their backs. For the same two reasons. Number one, you're accountable to me, not your audience. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Don't be terrified by them or I will terrify you before them. And God was saying, Jeremiah, you're answerable to me. You don't have to give an account to the faces in your audience. If they don't respond, if they reject you, if they love you, whatever, it doesn't make any difference. If they turn their backs, if they get up and walk out, you're accountable to me. When you get up to give a message, you're giving it to an audience of one. You know that? And if you can develop that in your life and in your ministry, so that when you're sharing God's word, all you care about is the pleasure of your King, and knowing that you've been faithful to the text, and you've given out his word the best of your ability, dependent upon the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter what your audience thinks. It doesn't matter what the king says. And tomorrow we'll see how God handled the king for Ezra. And sometimes we care about the king because he holds that authority and he can shut us down if he chooses. But that's something else. But just the opinion of the king or the opinion of the priest or the opinion of the official or the opinion of the people, it's irrelevant because we're accountable to God, not to them. The second reason that you don't have to be afraid of faces is that God will enable you for everything he's called you to do. Verse 18, today, this night, I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, priests, and the people of the land. In other words, Jeremiah, tonight, I'm making you adequate. You'll never be adequate in yourself, but when you're in me, you are adequate. All of my sufficiency, all of my strength, all of my wisdom is yours. When God calls you into service, he enables you. He gives you his protection, his adequacy. He gives you his presence. Verse 19, they'll fight against you. And don't be surprised when you're resisted. That goes with the territory. But they're not going to overcome you, for I am with you. That's the promise of his presence. I will rescue you. That's the promise of his power. God will enable you and equip you for everything he calls you to do. If time would allow, I'd give you testimony, story after story. When I doubted that, but I decided to put God to the test and take him up on his challenge, and I found out that that's true. There's nothing that he will ever call you to do that he's not willing and able to do through you if you'll just let him. He enables you and he equips you, and those are two reasons that you can be obedient, even when you're afraid of faces. So what are you afraid of? Maybe it's not been anything that Jeremiah has shared from his own testimony. Maybe it's something unique in your particular case. Would you take it before the Lord? Our fears, you know, Paul told Timothy, who is also somebody very afraid of ministry, Timothy, God has not given you that spirit of fear. And if you're afraid and you have a spirit of fear, it doesn't come from God. God has given you a spirit of love and of discipline and of power. And whatever he calls you to do, you get up and do, and you'll discover that he is adequate. And the one who has called you is faithful. Jeremiah was obedient when he was afraid. And he was obedient, secondly, when he was active in service. And chapter 2 of Jeremiah begins the record of his obedience in ministry. And we find that Jeremiah was obedient when he was active in service for three reasons. And the first one was because he stayed in God's word. And you know, we've had story after story in our national press about outstanding Christian leaders, preachers, Bible teachers who get active in ministry and they become disobedient. It's almost like the tail begins to wag the dog and they begin to serve their organization, they begin to serve the church, they begin to serve the people in the audience, and they forget who they're serving. And I think one reason is because they don't stay in the word for themselves. And Jeremiah, with his powerful ministry that he had, never made impact on his society, but powerful nonetheless, one reason he stayed faithful was because he stayed in God's word. And so we find that he hears God's word for himself. Chapter 1, verse 2, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me. Verse 11, the word of the Lord came to me. Verse 13, the word of the Lord came to me. Chapter 2, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to me. Do you see that all the way through this book? You have that little phrase, the word of the Lord came to me. That's the equivalent for you and me of reading our Bibles. And all the way through Jeremiah's 60 to 65 years of ministry, he was reading the word of God, making time every day just to take it in. And there were times that he gave out the very thing he was asked to take in, but there were times when it was just for himself. In fact, his whole book is really a record of his prayer life. When he would talk to God and God would talk to him, and as a result of that, he would share it with the people. But you see, this always surrounded God's word as he read God's word for himself. And not only did he read it, but he studied it. He asked questions of the Lord. And one of my favorite ones is in chapter 12, verse 1, when he says, Lord, you're always righteous when I bring a case before you, but I want to speak with you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper and all the faithless live at ease? You've planted them and they have taken root. They grow and bear fruit. You're always on their lips, but you're far from their hearts. But you know me, O Lord. You see me and you test my thoughts about you. Have you ever wondered that yourself? You know, Lord, why is it that my neighbor who doesn't know you has such an easy life? I mean, her children never cause her problems. Her bank account is always fine. Her husband is loving and has a good job. And everything seems to go so fine. And here I am, trying hard to live for you, trying hard to serve you, and look at all the troubles I have. Why do the wicked prosper and I seem to have difficulty? You ever ask the Lord that? I love Jeremiah. He just wrestles with the Lord all the way through his book, and the Lord answers him. You know, if you ask questions to the Lord, many times you get an answer, maybe not the answer you were looking for, but something to comfort your heart. And in verse 5, look at his answer. Jeremiah, if you've raced with men on foot and they've worn you out, how can you compete with horses? If you stumble in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? Jeremiah, I'm conditioning you to be a prophet. I'm conforming you into the image of Christ. I'm molding and making you into a man of God. You belong to me. The pagan neighbor doesn't. And you know, the pagan neighbor, there's some troubles that are common to man, and all of us have certain problems that are common to all of us, but Christians have a unique set of problems because we're wrestling with our old nature. We're trying to raise godly children in an ungodly world. We're trying to be holy and separate. And they're all, it's like a salmon swimming against stream. There are all sorts of things coming against us. And we struggle and struggle, and it's not easy. But God says, just suck it up. I'm making you tough. I'm conditioning you to really stand for me in a world that's gone crazy and stand strong enough and tall enough that you might share my word in a relevant way with the people around you. So Jeremiah read God's word and he studied God's word because he heard it and then he heeded it. In chapter 2, verse 2, the Lord says, Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, verse 4, Jeremiah does exactly what God says. And then you see in chapter 3, verse 12, go and proclaim this message towards the north, verse 14, Jeremiah does just what he's told. Again and again in this book, you find the word of the Lord coming to Jeremiah, and when God tells Jeremiah to do something, he does what he's told. He's not just a hearer of the word, he is a doer. Jeremiah was obedient when he was active in ministry because he stayed in the word. And can I just challenge you, whatever your ministry is, would you stay in the word? It's important for you and me to just stay in the word, that we're listening to what God would say to us, that we would be personally obedient. And Jeremiah was obedient when he was active because he stayed in the word, and he stayed in the word because he craved the word. Chapter 15, verse 16, Jeremiah says, when your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. Jeremiah received God's word with enthusiasm. You hunger for God's word. But you know, sometimes we satisfy ourselves with junk food. I love junk food. Once a year, I try to go to the state fair just to eat my way from one end to the other. I love cotton candy. I love candied apples. I love popcorn. I love fried dough. I love all the junk food. And I think sometimes if I'm not careful, I'll settle for junk food in my Christian life. You know, devotionals and books about the word and testimonies of other people and what Alan Redpath used to call sermonettes for little Christianettes. You know, just little things and not just crave the word. Jeremiah was somebody who was hungry for the straight meat of the word. And the word was not only the food for which he yearned, but it was the fire with which he burned. Chapter 20, verse 9, he said, if I say, I'll not mention him or speak anymore. And he's saying, don't you know he said that many times? You know, if I'm getting God's word and I give it out and I get all the rejection that I'm getting, I'm not going to say it anymore. I'm just not going to preach. I'm not going to teach. I mean, who needs the kind of rejection I'm getting? And if I say that I'll not mention him or speak any more in his name. His word is in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. And it was Jeremiah's intensity of passion for the word that set him apart from everybody else. It's the very passion we see in Peter and John. You remember when they were beaten and they were told no longer to speak of Jesus? And they said, I'm sorry, we can't help but speak of Jesus. Because his word is in us like a fire shut up in our bones. We're weary of holding it in. We must let it out. Have you ever felt like that? And are you satisfied just to be warm to the word, or you want to be on fire? Jeremiah was somebody who was on fire for the word. And the word was like a fire burning within him, and he could only get relief when he shared it with somebody else. There's a deep satisfaction that comes from taking the word in, preparing it, and sharing it. And in fact, when you keep doing it, you're not going to be satisfied unless you keep doing it. And I think if the Lord took away my opportunities to share his word, there'd be an element of satisfaction that would leave my Christian life. Because once I discover wonderful truths, and like Jeremiah, I just love this Old Testament character. Nobody ever responded to his ministry, but what, 3,000 years later? If there's nobody else, there's me. I just love him as a person and what he went through, and find my heart responding and identifying so much with him. And if I wasn't able to share it with you, it would be shut up in my bones, and there would be an element of satisfaction I would miss. Jeremiah stayed in God's word because he craved God's word, and therefore he portrayed God's word in his life. And we won't turn to these, but in chapter 13, he bought a linen belt, he wore it, he buried it, he dug it up, it was all rotten, he waved it in front of Israel, and he said, see, this is how useless you are to God. And then in chapter 19, he bought a clay pot, he smashed it before the people, and he said, this is what God's going to do to you if you don't repent. And then in chapter 27, he put a yoke on his neck, and he walked around Jerusalem, and he said, this is how the Babylonians are going to oppress you. In other words, his life was an illustration of his message. He practiced what he preached. So other people could look at the life of Jeremiah, and they would say, oh, so that's what he meant. And Jeremiah's life made the word come alive. So when other people look at you and they see your life, then they say, oh, now I understand what she was trying to teach. Now I see what that means. Now I understand what it means to be a Christian. Now I see what it means to be separate. Now I know what it means to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I see it in her life. Our lives should be a portrait of the Word of God. We live it out as well as give it out in word. Jeremiah was someone who loved God's word. He stayed in it, he craved it, and he portrayed it in his life. Therefore, he was obedient when he was active in ministry. And he was obedient also when he was attacked in ministry. And I'll tell you, if you haven't been attacked already, you will be. It just comes with the territory. And the thing that made it so difficult was that Jeremiah loved those that attacked him. You know, if we didn't care about them, it wouldn't be nearly as hard. But Jeremiah loved these people. Look at chapter 8, verse 21. And Jeremiah says, "Since my people are crushed, I am crushed. I mourn and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people?" Chapter 9, verse 1. "Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people." And we find Jeremiah praying for his people, weeping over his people. And these are the very people that rejected everything he had to say. He reminds me of Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. And he said, "I would gather you like a hen would gather her chicks under her wing, but you would not." And Jesus wept over the city that was rejecting him. And Jeremiah wept over these people that rejected him. And you know, in all of those 65 years, he gave out judgment, but he was never judgmental. And he was a very righteous man, but he was never self-righteous. He just loved the people to whom God had sent him. You love the people to whom God has sent you. You love the people in your Sunday school class. You love the women in your neighborhood. You love the women in your prayer group or your Bible study. I remember I went up, it was in Canada, I believe it was, and I was invited to a conference to speak, and I was sitting up on the platform, and I looked at this group of women, and they were the most unattractive group of women I've ever seen. I mean, their hair wasn't combed, they weren't dressed nicely, they didn't wear makeup, and their faces were just like, you know, the lights were on, but nobody was home, just vacant, blank. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, I've come all this way to speak to a group like this. They all look dead, like they could care less. They didn't sing. And I was sitting there thinking, wait a minute. And I had to sit right there on the platform and say, "God, give me a love for this audience. Give me your love. Let me see them through your eyes." And I began to see them as tired and oppressed and depressed, needing the living water, needing the light of the world to come into their lives. And by the time I stood in the pulpit, just by God's grace, he had given me a deep love for that particular audience. I still remember them to this day. Out of all the audiences I've stood before, I remember that one and the love that God gave me for them and the blessing he poured out upon them. Jeremiah was somebody who loved his audience. And that's tough when all they do is criticize, 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 find fault with everything you said. He was attacked by those in authority. We won't turn to these chapters, but chapter 20, he was beaten by the authorities and placed in stocks. So he was a laughingstock to everybody. And there he was in the city square in stocks. Chapter 36, he was imprisoned in a dungeon. Chapter 38, he was thrown into an empty cistern to die. He sunk up to his shoulders in mud. Jeremiah had friends, by the way, but nobody who was really responding to his ministry. And this man who was his friend came out at night and let a rope down and put rags on the ropes that wouldn't burn Jeremiah's arms and pulled him up out of that mud as the mud was sucking Jeremiah down and pulled him up from the mud so he wouldn't die and be lost in the mud. I mean, he was attacked by those in authority. Now, who in authority is attacking you? Somebody in your church, somebody in your community, somebody in your family or in your home. Jeremiah was humiliated again and again by those in authority, but listen to me. He was never intimidated. I just love it. God had conditioned him well. He could compete with horses. He could run in the thickets of the Jordan because he was tough, and God had toughened him every step of the way through his obedience to his word, and God put him in harder and harder places until in the end, Jeremiah again and again was humiliated, but never intimidated. He was attacked not only by those in authority, but by those in his audience. Chapter 25, verse 3. "For 23 years, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened." You know, that to me is one of the greatest fears I have, is to stand up in front of an audience, and they won't listen. In fact, I had an audience like that once in Spain, and I was speaking, the interpreter was speaking, and a couple of rows, they started talking to each other. They got up, and they stood in their rows and talked with each other, and somebody gave somebody else flowers, and then they just talked with each other as they walked out. And I was in the pulpit pouring out my heart. It was like a nightmare come true. And I think there was difficulty in the interpretation, to tell you the truth, although it may have been me. They just were totally indifferent to the word. And Jeremiah says, I have been preaching to you for 23 years, and you've not listened to anything I've said. And Jeremiah kept preaching with all the enthusiasm of giving an encore. Isn't that special? He just kept doing it in obedience to his Lord. You turn over to chapter 37, verse 1, talking about Zedekiah, the last king that the Babylonians took into exile, took into captivity. Neither he nor his attendants nor the people of the land paid any attention to the words the Lord had spoken through Jeremiah the prophet. Now that's almost at the end of Jeremiah's ministry. And that's not just after 23 years, that's after almost 60 years. Neither the king nor his attendants nor anybody paid any attention to the words that the Lord had spoken through Jeremiah the prophet. Chapter 44, verse 16, at the very end of his ministry, people of Judah had been carried off into captivity into Babylon. A little remnant had escaped, and they had fled down to Egypt. And Jeremiah went with them all the way, telling them, you're not to do this, you're not to do this. And in chapter 44, verse 16, the people going down to Egypt said, we will not listen to the message you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord. And Jeremiah, pouring out his heart, faithfully giving out the word that God had given him to give to those people, and they refused to listen, they refused to heed, and Jeremiah just kept giving it out. He was obedient when he was attacked. And he was obedient when he was alone because he was faithful. The people never responded to Jeremiah. No one ever thanked him. In fact, the last scene of his life in chapter 44 has him preaching God's word to a people who were still rejecting God's word. And Jewish tradition says that Jeremiah went down to Egypt and the people got so fed up with him, they stoned him to death. And his obedience comes out of his prayer life. And we haven't talked that much about prayer, but you read his book, the whole thing is a prayer. His conversation with God as he works through this before the Lord. He was successful before God because he was faithful. Last passage to turn to, Lamentations chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 19. And he says this, I remember my affliction and my wandering. Oh, I remember my 65 years of preaching and nobody ever responded. The bitterness, the humiliation. I remember the stocks and the dungeon and the muddy cistern and the gall. I well remember them. And every time I think about it, my soul is downcast and I get depressed within myself. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, I've not been consumed. His compassions have never failed me once. They've been new every morning. And then you see his prayer slip into a personal, great is your faithfulness. And I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Jeremiah was fulfilled because his fulfillment was in God. It wasn't in his ministry. It wasn't in his audience. It wasn't even in the word. It was just in God himself. And God was faithful to Jeremiah.
Now here's Anne with this final word.
To be honest, the criticism and the attacks hurled at those of us in ministry can sting. They can hurt. But for the most part, I don't really care what others say. You know why? I don't live my life to please people, to be popular. I don't seek the approval of others. I decided when I was 17 years of age that since I could never please everyone anyway, I would live my life to please God. And I've kept that as my life's goal. I live for an audience of one. As I've grown deeper in my knowledge of him and my love for him, what others think pales in comparison to what he thinks. Unlike Jeremiah, while I may come under attack, I still have an entire network of family, staff, co-workers, publishers, editors, friends, all over the world who love me, understand me, agree with me, support me, encourage me, and pray for me to keep on keeping on. If, like Jeremiah, you remember the bitterness and the gall, refocus on the blessings God has given you, refocus on his faithfulness to you, and live your life for an audience of one.
You've been listening to Living in the Light. And when you go to anngrahamlotz.org, there are free resources to help you in your study of God's Word. Anne's desire is that you embrace a God-filled life, step by step, choice by choice, living in the light.